right, amen. As you find that, please stand to your feet. Song number 272 this evening. Oh, once I drifted out in sin, had no hope nor joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along and He showed me I was wrong. Yes, sing it now. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. Again, how many out there are glad you're on the winning side tonight? Can I get an amen? How about a praise the Lord? How about a hallelujah? Yes, come on the second, from the straight and narrow way. From the straight and narrow way, I was drifting every day. Out upon the waters deep and wide. But it all is over now. Glory light is on my brow. My soul is on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. You're singing well like you're on the winning side on the last. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near. And in Him so often I confide. He's a keeper of my soul since I came in full control. And He placed me on the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin, no more will I abide. I'm enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
You're singing great tonight, man. That's exciting to come to church and just sing about the Lord. Did you realize we've been in church for 3 nights in a row? What a blessing that is. We could keep it going, right? We only had one amen last night. We have a whole bunch tonight, so we'll see what happens, how the Lord moves. I hope you've been praying for the services today. Pray that God would speak to your heart, work on the hearts of the people in our church, and through the preaching of the Word of God, as we've been praying, that we would see revival. I pray that your desire, your prayer tonight, that we would see revival tonight. It starts with you. It starts with me, and it spreads from there, that the fire would burn in our hearts, that God would speak. We'll have a word of prayer this evening. Pastor Johnson, would you come and lead us in prayer tonight?
So good to have Brother Schreiber with us tonight. When I graduated from Bible college in 1983, Pastor, Brother House laid his hands on me to pray and bless me into the ministry. That night you got a doctorate from the college. That was 40-some-odd years ago, and over these years, he has been such a dear friend to me and to our family, our church, and the college and all the influence that it's had and conferences and things. But I was watching last night. I was in a motel down the Bay Area. I was watching last night, and when he said he was fat, I never felt so close to you in all my life, Pastor. I said, that man's fat, I'm the Goodyear blimp. I mean, that's fat. Light in this pulpit, right here in this pulpit, in this church. Well, it's good to have you, Pastor, now. And let's pray. Father, tonight we're so thankful for the privilege to gather as a church. And then, Father, to have the opportunity to sing the songs of God. And then, of course, hear the word of God from the man of God. But as we always say, all is in vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So, Holy Spirit, please tonight, settle on us in this property. Put a hedge around this place. Prevent any interference, any problems. Of course, there would be none, but give free course and liberty in this service. May each of us begin with a moment of invitation and just invite God to work in our lives. So bless tonight, please. Thank you for this opportunity, and bless that we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Song number 480 this evening. Song number 480. As you're seated there, I want that mountain this evening. Song number 480. I saw the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain top. He laughed so hard at my unbended knee. No longer I'll stand, so I cry. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of escrow grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. There was a giant of laziness who said I wouldn't go, and witness for the one who set me free. I'll come from out the wilderness, I'll witness now I know. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of escrow grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given. Good singing on the last. Let every giant of distress, unbelief and sin, get ready now to vacate, for you see I've come from out the wilderness, I know I'm going to win. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of escrow grow. I want that mountain, I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me.
For a long time I traveled down a long lonely road. My heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin, from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace, His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that's taken its flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar who's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out through his holy name. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin, from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace, his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way. I'm so glad that I found out he would bring me out and show me the way, and show me the way.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Song number 275. You're singing well tonight. If you would, please stand your feet as we sing It Is Well With My Soul this evening, song number 275. Win peace like a river this evening.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, those trials should come, let this bless us sure, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of his glorious thought. My sin, his nail to the cross, and I bear. My soul.
and on the last. You're singing well. Let's sing it from our hearts. And Lord, haste the day. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sad. The clouds we roll back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
What a great and powerful song that is. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall become sight. What a blessed thought that is. We're going to prepare for the offering now. I want to encourage you to give and be giving tonight, a love offering for Pastor Treber. Ushers, if you would come as we get ready for the offering tonight, let's be faithful to give, and we appreciate Pastor Treber and Brother Martinez coming up with us for a couple days, and appreciate you very much. Let's be generous to give. Pastor Justin Brown and a few folks from Country Baptist Church came to join us tonight from Wairika. Would you come and lead us in prayer for the offering tonight? We appreciate you and your faithfulness to the Lord. Let's make sure to be faithful to give. You can give here in service or online, and you can designate that accordingly if you're online. Thank you, Pastor Brown. Appreciate it.
Let's pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with us today. Thank you for Pastor Treber and what he means to me and so many people. Lord, I pray that you just empower him tonight as he preaches and teaches your word. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, you just open our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, to not just hear, but help us to apply these truths to our lives. I pray you bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
We tend to make excuses, we tend to pass the blame. We fail to see our failures as more than just mistakes. We can't see the wrong in others, overlooking the evil within. So Lord, help us to confront our hearts, to confess and forsake our sins.
For the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Filled with pride, we try to hide every sinful part.
But confession and repentance would
be a healthy start.
To fix the heart of
the problem of the heart.
The heart is so deceitful, so desperately wicked within. And just the time I think I'm fine, I deceive myself again. So create in me a clean heart, one that's faithful, pure, and true. Then search my heart and try me. Help me, Lord, to follow you.
For the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Filled with pride, we try to hide every sinful part.
But confession and repentance would
be a healthy start.
To fix the heart of
the problem of the heart. For the heart of the problem
is the problem of the heart.
Filled with pride, we try to hide every sinful part.
But confession and repentance would
be a healthy start.
To fix the heart of the problem.
The problem of the heart.
Song number 209 this evening. Song number 209. Sorry, ladies, switching it up on you. Song number 209, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Song number 209, as you find that, please stand your feet again. Getting a little bit of exercise tonight, amen. Song number 209,
like a river glorious is God's perfect peace.
Him whole. it now. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed. Perfect peace at rest. Let's sing that chorus a cappella if you would, please. Stayed upon Jehovah, ready? If you got a part, sing it, amen. Here we go. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace at rest. Thank you. You may be seated.
Brother Alvin Martinez, again, we have enjoyed having you here. He's going to sing for us tonight. I forgot to ask you before, but Pastor Treba, would you say a word about the book table and the CDs here in just a moment? And Brother Alvin Martinez has some great CDs out there as well. Sing for us tonight, if you would, please.
Thank you, Pastor. What a joy it is to be with Chester Baptist Church family. Thank you, Pastor and Mrs. Johnson, for decades of service. And Pastor and Mrs. Becker and the staff, wonderful people. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I'm just glad I'm in God's house tonight. And I echo what Pastor Johnson said. I don't understand why skinny people talk about diets. I just laugh. My pastor said, 200, that's my left leg. That's like, I wish I'm 200 pounds. I was born 200 pounds. But anyway, I'm trying to lose weight. My doctor told me, said, hey, you got to stop eating those intimate dinners for two unless somebody's eating with you. And so I've been healthy now, you know, trying. But for me, losing 50 pounds is nothing. I mean, I still look the same, I guess. It's like throwing a lawn chair out of a Titanic, but it don't make a difference. But anyways, I just enjoy life. That's what I'm trying to do, because someday we're all going to be checking out of here. Amen. And it's very soon now. I'm thankful that we get to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Child of God, hold on a little longer. Let's keep on trusting him. Looking back through the years, the heartaches and tears, my Lord has never once let me down. Though I don't understand, still I trust in his plan, for he said that his grace will abound. There's no need to doubt him now. He'll make a way somehow, safely this far. Jesus has brought me, no need to doubt him now. Child of God, have no fear, though your path seems unclear. Oh, someday God's plan will unfold. He has never, never failed. He will always prevail. The Lord, he is still in control. There's no need to doubt him. Or he'll make a way somehow, safely this far.
God's people said, amen. Well, it's time for the preaching tonight. Get your Bibles ready in your hand, looking forward to it. Again, as I said before today, I hope you've been praying for the service tonight that God would speak to your heart. I know Pastor Treber has as well. I mentioned it last night as well, but Pastor Treber's had a huge impact on my life and my wife and our family, and I appreciate your faithfulness to the Lord. As pastored at North Valley Baptist Church for almost 50 years now, so I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness to the Lord and to God's people. Thank you for taking these 2 days to come and preach for us. Get your Bibles ready, and let's listen to the preaching time tonight, please.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, and it's so good to be here tonight. Great crowd, great singing, and thank the Lord for your girls. You did beautifully. That was wonderful. Fellas, that was perfect. Pastor, Mrs. Johnson, I would be amiss if I did not tell you how much I love you, and to think that a man and his wife would come to this city not knowing anybody and just hew out this great place for 40 years, I will always I always admire that. And I thank God for you. And then to have to give it up, you saw your son-in-law and daughter were ready, and they have done a great job, a wonderful job. We were with the staff today and had about 3 hours together, I think, or three hours together. And had a wonderful time, ate lunch together, and then had a workshop together. And Pastor Becker would constantly refer to Brother Johnson. I love that. And he's not changing anything. He's just keeping it going. And God bless you folks for loving both your pastors. You have two pastors here. You have a young one, and you have a 5 years your pastor, you say you have a young one, you have a fat one. I didn't eat dinner tonight. I'm starving hungry, and I'm not going to eat till tomorrow. I'm going to begin fasting tomorrow. In fact, I'm going to fast every night from 11 p.m. to 6 o'clock a.m. Every night of my life, I'm going to fast. But I'm going to lose this weight next time. If you let me come back next year, I promise you I will look a lot better. But good to see 3 brown boys in the same auditorium tonight. And thank God for you boys. I thank God for all of you. Well, last night, Pastor mentioned you seniors. you go out there. Brother Martinez has a gift at the book table for you. Well, he was talking about seniors in high school, and all you senior saints showed up. And so I've got you a book here. I believe that I'll give you this one. And Brother Martinez, keep track. I'll pay for it in the morning with the publication. How to Go to God's House. It's a little read. It's 15 chapters on the Psalms of Degrees. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house. Come to church glad. And every chapter is how to go to God's house. So senior saints, that's you folks, okay? Let's go out there and get that for free, and that'd be great. Well, we're in the book of First Samuel tonight. Let's take your Bibles. Appreciate Pastor Johnson being at the college today, and I asked the students, has he lost it? And I asked that just this last week, and everyone said, oh, no, he's our favorite. So don't tell that to the rest, but they're probably listening right now. But Brother Johnson's a great man of God. Brother Becker's a great man of God. And to have two back-to-back great preachers, you're blessed. And I'm certain their delivery is different as night and day, but isn't it amazing how God can use all of us in whatever capacity? Am I on here, fellas? Am I on? This is on. Good. We'll try this. I'll keep my eye on that clock. That clock is new, isn't it? Can't see it, but I'll keep my eye on it. I went and bought some readers today, and I said to the fellow at Costco, I said, I broke my glasses, but I need something to read with. And I don't know if I need 250s or 200s or whatever I need. He goes, well, let me take your glasses. So he took my glasses, and he looked. He goes, oh, you need 350 or more. And so you don't sell 350, so these are 300. I may be reading from the wrong Bible tonight. I'm not sure. 1 Samuel and chapter number 17. 1 Samuel 17. Thank you, Brother Martinez, for coming. What a blessing he is to my heart. And the blessing is he's driving home tonight, so maybe I'll sleep. Who knows? Verse 3. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. There was a valley between them. There went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. I think that's over 9 feet, if I'm not mistaken. Verse number 8, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and your servants to Saul? Choose you out a man for you. Let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for this great church. It is a great church. It's not just a good church. It's a great church. Thank you for the beautiful, beautiful property you've given to them. Thank you for the beautiful buildings you've given to them. Thank you for the beautiful ministry you've given them, the wonderful pastor and his wife. And I thank you for everything that's happening here, old time religion. God, may they not change in the days that lie ahead. I don't believe they will. Help us to be faithful till you come again. Bless our time together. I ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Battles are a way of life. I wish I could tell you that you're not going to face them, but you're either, as one preacher said, you're either headed toward a battle, you're in a battle, or you're coming out of a battle. But you're always in a battle. I go home, and tomorrow I have some things to deal with, and they're battles. And they're not pleasant things to deal with, but I have battles. I have battles every day of my life, and you do too, undoubtedly. We battle with self, don't we? I battle so much with myself. I'll make commitments to God, and I'll make commitments to the things of God, and then I find myself, just myself gets in the way. Perhaps your battles with yourself. Perhaps tonight your battles with your mate. Your mate is either left or your mate's hard to get along with. Perhaps your battle's your children. And your children have walked away from God. And you go to bed every night of your life and you pray for your children. I know my wife and I pray every night for our children. And we're thankful they're serving God. But we pray every night for our children. We pray for our grandchildren. There's a battle for our grandkids' soul. Right now, all 14 are living for God, and 3 are out of schools, and they're serving God with their life. Well, 1 gets out in May, graduates. But all 3 are serving God, and 2 more are going to Bible college in the fall. And I thank God for that. But you battle, we will have battles with our grandkids, I guarantee it. We have 14. There's going to be a battle. I don't know if it'll be a health battle. I don't know if it'd be a financial battle. I don't know if it'd be a spiritual battle. But we're headed into some battles with our grandkids. The devil has a way of doing that. Perhaps your battle is your health tonight. Perhaps you're an MS or a cancer. We have so many people in our church right now. So many, it's MS or it's cancer, so much cancer. Or we have shut-ins and can't breathe and diabetes, you name it. We've got about 20, 25 people at least, I would imagine, that are shut in our church and they cannot come to church anymore because of their health. Perhaps tonight your battle is housing or your battle is something else. But everyone in life faces battle. Now, what you do during your battle is going to be the difference. Decisions you make during your battle will always make the decisions of your life. I had the joy of being raised by a wonderful father. In a few weeks, he'll be gone 8 years. My mother will be gone in a couple of weeks, 10 years. My dad was such a wonderful man. My dad was 90% deaf. And I can remember wrestling with my dad. And he used to have those wires coming out of his ears and went down, and they had 2 transistors like radios, maybe you kids don't. You know what a transistor radio is? You know what that is? And they hooked him onto his T-shirt, and he wore those things. He could hear with them. But we'd wrestle, and one would fall off. The other one would start to, and we were wrestling around. Hey, I said, wait a minute. And he'd take those things off. I remember the day the doctor said, Gottlieb, Gubby, we've got a surgery. We're going to try on you. Both ears, doesn't matter if you lose your hearing. You're 90% deaf, but you won't. And we're going to give you a hearing. We're going to give you this surgery. And I'll never forget, my dad woke up. He was all bandaged up, and his ears and his head and everything was bandaged up. And then several days later, weeks later maybe, when they unbandaged him, we waited because it was going to be awesome. And the surgery failed. And I'll never forget my dad. He said, well, the Lord doesn't want me to have hearing. And he just kept going for God. I remember when he had a stroke. He retired from working at age 62, and he came to work for me. And after his first day working for me, he had a stroke. That doesn't say very much for me. But, you know, I remember reaching over his body at the hospital. My mother, I knew she was going to be very upset. She goes, no, son, your dad read to me this morning in our Bible reading, my times are in thy hand. God's going to make this. And God brought him through that. And then he had cancer. And my dad wasn't a sick person. He never missed work. He worked all the time. But then cancer. And he went through that. He lived to be 94. I mean, somehow he kept living, energized and battery. But may I say this? My dad faced everything trusting God. Everything. Every battle of life. When that hearing aid business he went into in 1959 in Stockton, California, and that big ministry he had, and a job he had, and a company he had, and three other men, they all went in business together, and they failed. The other two guys left and left the bills. My dad paid them for the next 10 years. He never was upset. Several years ago, he told me, man, see that big old building there on Highway 101, he said, that guy right there, I did fencing materials for him, and that guy owes me, this is about 30 years ago, he owes me $2,500. I said, well, Dad, go sue him or go do something. He goes, oh, no, they probably need it more than I do. Nothing ever alarmed my dad. Maybe that's why his kids all really went on to live for God. You're going to have troubles in your life. You pastors that have troubles in your church, they're just going to come. You name the sin. I've been praying all year, help us not to deal with sin. And that seems like all I've been dealing with. Here before us today is a battle that's going on. And I want to approach your battle that you're going through. I don't know what your battle is, but you don't run when you face a battle. And you don't quit when you face a battle. And you say, well, I'm going to move and I'll start over. No, you just stay and you work through your battle and watch God. I'm going to change my lifestyle. That's the answer. And no, that's not the answer. One, I want us to see from this scripture tonight that all battles are owned by God. God owns your battle. It's not your battle. Look what the Bible says in verse number 47 of chapter 17. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. Read this next phrase together. Ready? Begin. For the battle is the Lord's. Read it again, please. For the battle is... Read it one more time. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Every battle you face in life, God owns it. He knows the battle. He knows before you go into the battle. And the battle is the Lord's. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, 57, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can face every battle and sing, oh, victory in Jesus. It's God's battle. I'm just the agent that has to go through it. I'm the Job that has to go through it. But God says it's his battle. Whatever battle you face tonight, whatever battle you're going to face this week, whatever battle that you're going to come out the other side this week, the battle is always God's. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. That's found in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians is a great book. It's four books. It's four chapters. It's 104 verses. And here's Paul lowered down in the ground into a jail cell. It's cold. It's damp. That's why he needed his cloak. And he's lowered down in the ground, 104 verses. He says 18 times, rejoice in the Lord. Joy or joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. The Apostle Paul, 104 times, 104 verses, 104 times, he says the word Jesus, Christ, Lord, God, our Father. Do you know 104 times in 104 verses he referred to Jesus Christ constantly? That's the answer for your life. When you have a battle in life, when you have a trial in life, when you have a sorrow in life, and they're going to come the rest of your life till you draw your last breath, always face them with God, knowing that God, that's His battle. It's His battle. It's not your battle. There's a second thing I find tonight. I find that you never run from a battle. Never run. We feel like it. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 20. Chapter 17, verse 20. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. Took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he claimed, and he came to the trench, and the host was going forth to fight and shout for the battle. For Israel and the Philistine had put the battle in array in the arm against the army. And David left the carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran. He ran into the army, and he came and he saluted his brethren. You know, you think of Goliath. Goliath was a big man. David was a short man. Goliath was a man. David was but a youth. Goliath had the sword and had a spear. David had a sling. Everything. Goliath was a man of the army. He was a man that had faced battles. David was a man that faced sheep. Do you know that everything in they were contrasting everything. And yet David said, is there not a cause here, fellas? Is there nothing? And David ran, he constantly said, he ran to the battle. He ran to the fight. Don't ever run away from a battle. You face a battle in this church. You face a battle in your home. You face a battle in your life. Don't. People say it all the time, Brother Johnson. I'm quitting church. I'm just done. I was knocking on doors and I came across a fella. He goes, no, I'm not coming to church. I'm not coming to your church. I said, why? He goes, I was a deacon in a Baptist church for years. Then he said this, Pastor, I prayed. My mother was sick. I prayed. God didn't answer my prayer. God took my wife, my mother, and I'm done with God. I felt like saying, what a sissy. You know, what a weasel, what a wimp. Come on, man up. I don't understand this. My father-in-law pastored the same church for 57 years. But in that 57 years, when he turned 45, his wife turned 45. They had eight children. And in the midst of that eight children, all of a sudden she got cancer. She was on the eighth floor, room 828, and my wife and her dad did not like to take the elevator, so they'd walk to room 828, and they would claim together Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And they claimed it, and they claimed it, and they claimed it. And God took her. 45. Left eight kids at home. I still don't, that was 1970, 54 years ago. I still see no good in what happened there. It doesn't say, though, and we see that all things work together. It says we know that all things work together. I can trust Jesus. No need to doubt Him now. He'll make a way somehow. Don't ever run from your battles. You have financial battles, don't run. There's a way out of them. God's going to make a way. You may have to work two jobs. I go back to my dad when they lost that business. And my dad, I remember we moved into two rooms. Not two bedrooms, two rooms. Two bedrooms. Not a kitchen. Not a living room. Not a family. Two rooms. That's two bedrooms we had. And another salesman, the Nestle salesman, he was so kind. He'd come by and he rented a room there. And all these different men would rent rooms. And we rented two rooms. You know, I remember my mother sending me down to the corner, a little grocery store, a little house that they turned into a grocery store, and said, "Now, Jack, you go get some milk for breakfast in the morning." And I'd run down there, and then she'd put it out on the ledge all night long so it'd stay cool. And then we had breakfast in the park every day of our life, cold cereal. And then she would make a lunch for us, and we'd have lunch. And then every night we went to Oak Park, and my dad grilled, and we had chicken, and we had hamburgers. We had something every night. You know, my dad, in 10 years, he was always so neat. He was a salesman. And he always dressed in a nice suit, but he didn't buy a new suit for 10 years. He didn't buy shoes. One day I saw him cutting out cardboard. He'd polish his shoes, but the soles of his shoes were gone. And he put that cardboard in those shoes, but he paid every bill. I learned so much just watching my dad. My dad, the same time we lost that business and we had no money, I didn't know we were poor. I didn't know moving in those two rooms we were poor. And my dad every night would gather us together and said, "Now, kids, we normally sing. We have the piano going and we have the organ. We don't have our piano. We don't have the organ. Jack, you can't play your trumpet. But let's have family do Bible time tonight." And you know, Brother Jimmy, every single night, Brother Everett, every single night we had family Bible time. You know, on Saturday night, he would always get his checkbook out, a little blue checkbook, Bank of America, and he'd write Calvary Baptist Church. And he put his tithe in his little envelope, and he'd get it ready for church. And every single Sunday, he didn't have much money. I think he was making $60 a week, but that's what he was making. And every single week, he put his tithe in. You know, I learned you face every battle. Ask Brother Johnson how many battles he had to face here to give you what you have. How many battles you know nothing about. Ask him about these battles that he had to face in life. You don't run from a battle. You face your battle. And here's a man of God, David, is facing his battle. Look at number three I want you to see. Not only do we all battles are owned by God, and you never run from a battle, but you put your part in your battle. Look at verse 34. You deal what you're supposed to do. David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept thy father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, I smote him, I delivered out of his mouth." And he said, verse 36, "The servant slew both the lion and the bear." He said, "I'm going to go and I'm going to do my part." What's your part? Prayer. What's your part? It's prayer. That's your part in the battle, is to pray. So when I pray all day long about it, no, you got other things to pray about too. Pray for the battle, lead the battle with God. Don't think all day long, but I think about good things, lovely things, honest things. If there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Don't think about your battle all the time. But here is David, and he did his part. He prayed. He stayed. He fought. That's what your part in the battle is to do. Nehemiah, his part of the battle was to build a wall around a city in 52 days for 2 million Jews. And he just did it. David's battle was the battle of Goliath. And isn't it amazing? Pastor, he started his ministry here with a battle. And all through life, he had battles. He had battles with Absalom. He's hiding from his own son. He had battle with Absalom when Absalom tried to usurp the throne, said, "If I were king." He had battles with Absalom when he set Joab's fields on fire. He had battles with Absalom when he killed his brother, had his brother Amnon killed. He had battles with Tamar, who committed incest, his daughter. And he had battles through Saul trying to throw a javelin at him two times and in hiding. His whole life was battles. He had battles with the Philistines. He had battles all his life from the beginning. Here with Goliath to the end when he died. You go to 2 Samuel chapter 23, I think it is. Might be 24, but I believe it's 23. He said, a servant of the Lord must be just. He must be like the morning dew. He must be like the morning sunshine. And he said, all that. And he said, he must have children that are good, although it be not so with my life. He said, none of my kids went on to live for God. But that doesn't take you out of the battle. You still have a battle. I won't embarrass you. I don't even know anybody. But if I ask you folks that are white-haired and bald and elderly, and I'm not making fun of you at all right now, every one of them get gray hair because of battles of life. Wonder how many of your children you're praying for tonight. Wonder how many children are away from God, or they don't go to church, or they're alcoholics, or they're drug addicts, or they're drunk. I was preaching last week and 2 weeks ago in Virginia, and a little boy in first grade, just the most handsome little boy, came from the morning chapel on Tuesday morning, large school, and he had a little suit on. He looks and he had his big old Bible, and he said, hi, Brother Treeper, would you sign my Bible? I said, I'd love to sign your Bible. Thank you. And I signed his Bible, and I said, does your mom and dad come to church here? And I shouldn't have said that. He said, no. No. He looked like he was the next preacher of the church. He said, my mom's a drug addict, and my dad's in prison. What a future for that kid. My mom's a drug addict. Sweet little Caucasian boy, sweet as could be, handsome as could be. My dad's in prison. My mother's a drug addict. God's preparing that boy for something big. I hope he doesn't miss it. God has taken through a hard, hard school. You know, when you face a battle, you go to prayer. You go to fight. Gideon did his part. He got those pitchers. He got those lamps. He got those trumpets. He did his part. I think of Mordecai. He did his part. He clothed himself with sackcloth, and he went to the midst of the city, and he prayed aloud to his God. You know that every single one of these people, when they had a battle, always turned to God. Number four, battles are continuous. I told you about Amnon and Absalom and personals, but how about Ziklag? When at Ziklag, they took in chapter 27 of 1 Samuel, they took David's wives and they took his children and they took all the men and all their children and they went and they set the city on fire. And David said to God, he went to God in prayer, shall I pursue? And God said one word, pursue. You go after those boys. And in that Bible text, you'll find that he was able to gain every single one of his children and their wives and back into the fold. Every one. I don't know how God's going to, it might be your battles like my father-in-law's that lost his wife. Then in time he remarried. And the church did not like the lady he married and the church split on him. Then the church began to grow again. And one thing after another. Then she got Alzheimer's, and for 10 years he cared for her while he pastored this large church. And then he buried her, and he was so lonely in life. You know, I don't understand all he had to go through, but that's part of life. I'm about finished. You're listening so good. I want you to see with me battles. Battles prepare us to take a stand and fight. Look at verse 38. Verse 38, please. Saul armed David with the armor and he put a helmet of brass upon his head and he armed with the coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon the armor and he swayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these. I have not proved them. And David put them off him and he took a staff in his hand and he chose them 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even a scrip and a sling in his hand, and drew near the Philistine. The Philistine came and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about, he saw David and disdained him, for he was but a youth. and ruddy and fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give thy carcass to the host of the Philistines this day, the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord. And it came to pass that when the Philistine arose, and it came and it drew nigh, and he hastened to David. David ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took a stone and slung it, and he smote the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone slung into his head, sunk into his head, forehead, and he fell upon the face of the earth. And David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. And he smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. David therefore ran. He's always running. And he stood on the Philistine and took the sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and he slew him, cut off his head therewith. And the Philistines saw their champion was dead. They fled. Isn't that amazing? Here is the battle. Somebody had to take a stand. Oh, you're going to be fought. Eliab, his brother, fought against him. I know the naughtiness of your heart. People are not going to understand it. But if God is in it, just keep doing what God wants you to do. I wonder tonight, what battle do you face in life? Maybe you're not going through a battle. Maybe you have no battle to fight. But you will. I guarantee it. You are either, as that preacher said to me so many years ago, you are going into a battle, you're in a battle, or you're coming out on the other side. I wonder what it is for you tonight. You know, here are some ingredients that this man of God realized: the battle's the Lord's. And he realized that God had him to fight in this battle. And he realized that you never run from a battle, you face your battle. And he realized that I'm going to have to stand up against this Philistine, because the battle is the Lord's. Our Father, I pray tonight for these dear people. I love this church so very much. I'm so grateful that it's Heritage. 40 years with Pastor and Mrs. Johnson. 40 years. And how he left it in such good, good, capable hands. In the hands of a man of God and his dear wife, a woman of God. I thank you for the Pastor Becker. Lord, all he means to this church, his heart is so real. And I pray that, God, you would, in a mighty way, bless them this calendar year of 2025. Give them the greatest year of their life. God, give them souls. And yet, Lord, I know there's trouble coming. Man that's born of woman, his days are few and full of troubles. I wonder, with our heads bowed tonight, how many you're either headed for a battle or you're in a battle. And you're facing some things that are pretty tough right now. Would you slip your hand up and let me see your hands? Isn't that amazing? Sure, you may put them down. Everybody faces battles. I'd say there's a good 25 to 30, 35 hands at least raised. We all face battles. I wonder, is there someone here tonight without Christ? You're not sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven.